Hey, welcome to Catch the Flavor. I'm Judd. Flanker microphone is being commanded by Judy today. And if you want to call in, it is 647-344-4134. On the show, we have Mate Oluru, who's going to be talking about cannabis culture and legalizing that drug in Canada, as well as we're going to be talking about a festival coming up in Regent Park about food and culture. So you don't want to miss it. And we're going to just start off today with a bit of musical stylings of Bob Marley with Redemption Song. We'll be back in 3 or 4.
Welcome back. So we're here today on Catch the Flavor Youth Radio, and I'm your host, Judy, and my co-host today is...
Hey, how you guys doing? Good to be back. It's Tuesday, Regent Park Focus. If you want to call in, it is 647-344-4134, and we're going to get started with our interview today.
So today we have Mate Oluru. I'm sorry I'm butchering your name. Can you pronounce your name for me?
It's Mate Oluru.
Mate Oluru. So Mate Oluru is the CEO of Lyft.co. So Lyft was founded by individuals passionate about cannabis and the possibilities it holds. And they're an independent Canadian company not affiliated with any licensed producer or government agency. So Mate, can you tell us a little bit more about Lyft?
Definitely. So we started our early beginnings in 2014. Started as a simple blog just to inform Canadians interested in the then new federal legal licensed producer regime for medical cannabis, and with an education mandate to push the industry forward by, you know, basically showing who these LPs are, what is medical cannabis, and kind of how it can fit into the life of a medical patient. And we've since expanded to now hosting the largest trade shows in the industry. For Canada, we have a chain of clinics, Lyft-branded medical cannabis clinics across the country. We also have the largest database of product information in patients in Canada, as well as a few other initiatives such as our media play, which is industry news and updates.
That sounds pretty impressive. So how long has Lyft been around?
So Lyft started in 2014.
Okay, so that's been 3 years, and you guys have grown very much in that time.
Definitely. I think it's indicative of the industry growth itself. Mm-hmm. And of course, in the thirst for education and knowledge in the space, which is really at the center of everything we do, whether it's the clinics or the media, we always have an education mandate in pushing the industry forward through information.
Now, when you say education mandate, are you referring to just people who are like against it, like the Bill O'Reilly stereotype people who are kind of, you know, it'll harm our children, so you need to educate them kind of ground zero up? Or are you talking about even amongst users, other elements that are kind of certain gaps you see in people's knowledge that need to be filled even among, you know, prodigious users of the substance?
That's a good question. Education can mean anything and everything between the two things that you said. So whether it's breaking down stigma through our Faces of Cannabis campaign, which is basically an expose of different backgrounds and different professions that use cannabis, whether it's medically or recreationally, to an education piece on if you are a sufferer of MS, can medical cannabis help you? If so, what might be the right strain? We also did something this past April, as you may or may not know, 420 is often celebrated as a cannabis holiday, I suppose, typically actioned through overconsumption of cannabis. And what we did that day is we provided free TTC tokens, thousands of them, at Dundas Square at 421. The education piece being there, you know, don't smoke and drive. This is something that needs to be researched more, how cannabis can affect you and how you can operate cars after the fact. So for us, education is anything that pushes the industry forward, whether it's for a medical patient, for the public, or from a safety perspective for different stakeholders that may not even consume the plant at all.
So essentially what you're trying to do is make more of a view of it as less recreational but more for medicinal or even something broader?
Not necessarily. It's definitely part of our mandate, but I would not construe it medically only. I think the message is that cannabis can be incorporated into any lifestyle should you be receptive to it. It can be used as a health and wellness product. So one thing that we're seeing really interesting is, for example, microdosing active, you know, the THC cannabinoid, for example. So you could take such a minute amount that you're not psychoactively feeling the influence of cannabis, but for example, you might feel more awake, kind of like drinking a coffee. Or there's the education piece about helping with seizures of a certain kind by consuming THC. So it's really meant to showcase that cannabis, if you think about it, it has been branded very poorly for the past 9 years, right? It's green, it gets you high, you sit on the couch and eat pizza. That could be true, but so many other things are true as well, and I think it's really just providing people with the information, empowering them to make choices for themselves, whether it's right for them or not, for their specific circumstances.
And when you say that, you know, the normal one is that it's used recreationally to get people high, what are the other benefits? In addition to that one you just mentioned, right? You said there was a strain for MS specifically? And like who's kind of going and like where is the research headed? Like is that over, underfunded? Like how mm-hmm. deep into it have we got in terms of identifying this strain can help you do blank, this helps you do that, this kind
right.
of that, you know?
Right. It's a good question. So anecdotally, you know, you have 9 years of prohibition that have, of course, stifled how advanced this research has been. But in the last 10 to 15 years, you've seen exponential growth in this type of research worldwide. What we do with LIFT, for example, so there are, of course, peer-reviewed research, and, you know, the conclusion is a certain affliction, so for example, a specific type of epilepsy or pain of certain kinds respond to cannabis very well. And then there's other not as researched conditions that we see patients report as cannabis being beneficial for them. So for example, on LIFT, we have just under 20,000 reviews of patients from across Canada that will use a specific strain for a specific ailment, and they will write about their experience, how it helped them, how it made them feel, and other patients with the same condition will go on our website to find out if cannabis, perhaps a certain strain, might be right for the condition they have. They will come back, review, and we get a lot of these, primary research from patients themselves trying cannabis for specific ailments and reporting success with it.
So why don't we talk a little bit about the recent campaign you have? It is hashtag Faces of Cannabis. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Definitely. So our Faces of Cannabis campaign was in line with our education mandate I mentioned earlier. Mm-hmm. And at its core, it's meant to show that regardless of your race, background, sexuality, religious affiliation, or profession, cannabis users are just like you. So we had lawyers, MMA fighters, people of different ethnicities, different sexual orientations, basically come out and say, I'm a cannabis user, this is what I also do. And it's all meant to break down that stereotype that cannabis users are unproductive, or perhaps they look a certain way or act a certain way. And really the message is, you know, your neighbor is likely a cannabis user and you probably just don't know it.
Okay, so I have seen some of the images for the campaign. I've noticed one of them is the MMA fighter that you mentioned, and her religious background is she's wearing a hijab and niqab, so I'm going to assume a Muslim. But in the religion, I believe there's a lot of stigma around that. So how do you address that?
I think it's like any other religion, and people choose their faith individually in the sense that, for example, you might have people of Jewish faith that still eat pork but consider themselves Jewish. The fact that the person you're mentioning may be a cannabis consumer but is also Muslim doesn't detract from how religious she is or how devoted she is. At the end of the day, religion and the practice of it is a personal choice. So just because the Quran may say the consumption of cannabis, just like it says the consumption of alcohol is not allowed, from my understanding, I don't think it detracts from the messaging, the campaign. In fact, really adds to it. Right here, you have a person who's comfortable in their religion, in their use of cannabis, say, yes, this may be contrary to my religion, but it still makes me a devout follower. I still believe in what I believe, but I'm also a cannabis user, and it doesn't make me any less worthy of being Muslim, Jewish, or whatever, but it is part of my lifestyle.
So I have a question about some, including the one I mentioned. I know one of them featured in this campaign is George Brown professor. And in a professional setting, how do you address people who find that very odd or like stigmatize cannabis? How do they deal with that?
I think by coming out and saying, I use cannabis and I'm still a professional. Prior to me running this company, I was a Bay Street corporate lawyer, and I was very open about my use. Didn't make me any less good of a corporate lawyer, or it didn't change how I help my clients. So I think that's the mindset we need to get away from. People consume wine at night. They drink themselves silly, in some cases, at bars. Many lawyers do that, for example. And we actually know that mental health and substance abuse is an issue in professions such as being a lawyer. So I think it's very important to not segment cannabis and say, here's this thing that's bad because we're not used to it, but turn a blind eye to overconsumption of alcohol. So I think you address it just like that person did. She's a professor. She came out and is more than happy to put her face on a poster that was around the city, published online and in TTC stops, say that I'm a cannabis user, but doesn't detract from the fact that I am an acclaimed professor at this university.
And in that realm, how do you get away from the idea that this might be quote unquote bad for our children, because the idea is like a 14 or 15 year old this might go and try and, you know, purchase? At what age do you think the cutoff should be if we were to ever make it legal for recreational use, for example?
Mm-hmm.
Because
I think medical would be
across the board for any age. People don't seem to have a bit of a problem with that, but when it comes to the recreational area, right, aren't there not more hurdles because of the like social stigma?
Totally. So, you know, to address your point on the medical side, we see cannabis being specifically effective with children with certain types of epilepsy that may not respond well to pharmaceuticals, or pharmaceuticals that, you know, actively destroy so many parts of your body just so they can also stop the seizures. And you see with cannabis, this is actually one of the best documented uses of medical cannabis is specific, very rare types of seizures in children. So, you know, there is no age discrimination meant for medical cannabis, just like there's no discrimination for pharmaceuticals. If you need it, you need it. On the recreational side, I think it's no secret that you can walk into a high school, and it is likely more prevalent that high schoolers have cannabis than do alcohol, because alcohol is sold in a regulated environment, the LCBO, and they're very strict. And in fact, their training for your 25 and under at the LCBO is one of the most rigorous of its kind. So by regulating access to cannabis, you do actually, contrary to some belief, you preclude youth from accessing it. In terms of what is the right age, research suggests different ages. What you're likely going to see in Canada is the provincial age of alcohol be mirroring that of cannabis. And one of the reasons for it is that same one I just said. It's already so accessible to youth that to make it any higher than the bare minimum would actually keep people in the black market and thus not actually prevent youth from accessing it.
All right. We'll talk a little bit more about that in the actual legalization process and a couple of those issues when we come back from this musical break.
Shall they kill our prophets while we stand just a part of it. We got to fulfill the book. Won't you ask the same? Jesus of freedom, that's all I ever had. Redemption song, all I ever had. Redemption. Sons of freedom, sons of freedom.
And welcome back to Catch the Flavor Youth Radio. I'm here, as your host, Judy, and my co-host.
Hey, I'm Jed. What's going on?
So we're back, and if you're just joining us, we're here with Mateo Laru. He is the CEO of Lyft.co, and Lyft was founded by individuals passionate about cannabis and the possibilities it holds, and they are an independent Canadian company not affiliated with any licensed producer or government agency. They have a mandate to educate others on the uses of cannabis and the possibilities it holds. So, Mateo, welcome back.
Thank you.
So, let's continue our conversation about the recent campaign, hashtag Faces of Cannabis. We were discussing how some professionals and some people, ordinary citizens, utilize cannabis to better their lives in some ways. I was just wondering, has anyone from the campaign received any negative feedback?
No, not to my knowledge. We followed up with some. They've actually expressed how excited they were about the campaign, and it's just helped them push their messaging out there more. I think at the end of the day, for someone to, I almost don't even want to say this because it makes it seem as a grander statement than it is, right? Putting yourself out there, putting your face in the poster, saying you're a cannabis user, to some may seem like this great, leap of faith, and you're putting yourself out there, and there's repercussions. But, this campaign, what these people are experiencing goes to show there are no repercussions. They're lawyers, they're doctors, they're different religions, they're different sexual orientations. It makes absolutely no difference in who you are or how successful you are or what you do.
So essentially, have you got a lot of positive feedback from the campaign?
Correct. We also received some coverage. There's an article in Now Magazine and a few other publications after it.
Okay. So has it grown since? Are you planning to evolve the campaign?
Definitely. It was our launch, and now we want to continue this campaign by taking it to different sides of businesses. So, for example, working with different medical cannabis clinics to showcase that their medical cannabis patients are also doctors in different religions and so on, and just in general, using this campaign over the next year as we reach legalization to educate the Canadian public that cannabis users exist today, and that when legalization does come to pass, it won't change how society is, it won't change the people you're around. In fact, it'll stay pretty much the same.
So you're actually saying that there won't be a change in the demographics or the amount of people using it if it were legalized?
I think there will definitely be a change in the number of people because it would now be more accessible. But what I'm saying is that the type of people in the world, right, the people that are using cannabis, it's not going to create this new breed or class of people that may be, less productive or less educated or whatever it might be. I'm saying the status quo of society and what people are able to achieve will stay the same.
Okay. I'm just wondering, when you say, do you have a general idea or demographic or like it's a 25-year-old young professional female who works in, do you have like a quote-unquote standard, pot user who is not the typical, stereotype you see in Cheech and Chong and all of that?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. I would just point you to the Faces of Cannabis campaign. Different sexes of different age ranges, different professions. There is no typical cannabis user. That is the whole message behind our campaign.
So what was the inspiration behind this campaign? Like, why did you decide to do photos?
Mm-hmm. I mean, to sound cliche, a picture's worth a thousand words. But at the end of the day, I think because so many people think there is a stereotypical cannabis user, and that, to your question, is there a specific age range or a specific demographic or whatever, there isn't. And I think seeing these people visually really drives home that point. There is no typical cannabis user.
And what were some of the, did you have any difficulty, like what was the impetus? When did you decide, hey, I'm going to do this, I'm going to make this campaign happen? What took you from zero to actually doing it?
That's a good question. I think it was a number of factors. Our expo was coming up at the end of May, and we were thinking, you know, how should we advertise this? How do we get people to come? And we first thought, well, you know, who is a cannabis user? Who might care about a cannabis conference and, you know, what the industry looks like and everything that has to do with cannabis? And then we looked at our own networks, we look at ourselves, and we have a very diverse office from that perspective. And basically the answer was, you know, everyone and anyone would find this interesting in some way, potentially. So that was the rationale for the campaign, to show that the typical cannabis user doesn't exist. And in fact, anyone could find interest in something like the Lyft Cannabis Expo.
So I understand it's a campaign hashtag Face of a Cannabis. So how can people access it? Is it on just Twitter because it's a hashtag, or is it other platforms of social media?
So you can definitely use the hashtag on Twitter. You can also use it on Instagram. And in fact, I suggest you use it on Instagram because you can visually see people from around Canada and maybe even around the world at this point that have taken a photo of themselves and use that hashtag and kind of explain their story, who they are, and you know the fact that they use cannabis. And this has just been growing organically, unprompted by us.
So how have you felt, like, seeing the progress? Like, how does that feel for you?
I know I'd be lying if I didn't feel good. it's definitely good to see validation of our campaign from a business perspective. But at the end of the day, us being an education company that wants to push the industry forward, what we're really excited about is people posting these photos and proving us right in a way that there is no cannabis user, typical cannabis user, and also that you shouldn't feel stigmatized for being a cannabis user regardless of what you do.
Okay, so like I understand that you said you want to progress this for this 1 year. What do you hope to achieve for goals with this campaign?
That's a good question. You know, I think in terms of, if this is a business question, you know, what are our KPIs for seeing this campaign being successful? It would definitely be continued engagement and people telling their story. So currently it's relatively static. We have photos, we have text. We definitely want to take this to a short video series of sorts. And in using this to educate the public. So, you know, there's so many questions around how cannabis will change the Canadian landscape. And I think if we can help at least inform the conversation that really the change isn't going to be that radical, because look at all the people that are currently cannabis consumers. You know, the world hasn't ended. In fact, we got here for a reason. I think that would be success for us.
And just out of curiosity, when it does become legalized, what do you think, what is your recommendations for various strains, for various things? If you were to take like a top four, as like to show the range or differentiation available, what do you think would be the top four strains that you would probably think the public would be interested in consuming if it were to become legalized?
Definitely no way to answer that for four top strains. I probably couldn't even do it for the top, you know, 40. The really interesting thing about cannabis, you know, whereas alcohol is pretty much alcohol is alcohol is alcohol, maybe with subtle effects.
That follows by committee. But I mean, is it not the same way, though, like when wine is grown on a certain hillside and a certain plot of land and all of that? I mean, it probably gets like right down to the nitty-gritty.
Totally, and I'm glad you brought that up. So the terpenes in cannabis, or the way it smells, the way it tastes, is influenced from the environment, much like wine. But the psychoactive, or perhaps the anti-inflammatory effect of the actual cannabis, is so different plant by plant. And that is, of course, influenced by the growing conditions, like you said. But it's a plant that has been crossed with other plants of different types that lead to a different effect when consumed. So where I'm going with this is you could have strains that could be advertised for stimulating creativity, for example, and on different scales, depending on how concentrated they are, what is their phenotype, where that plant seed comes from in terms of a lineage, and those effects will be very different as compared to alcohol, where you have, you know, wine, beer, tequila, vodka, whatever, which are relatively similar in the end effect.
Oh, in terms of like chemical, what it does to the brain?
Yes.
Not in terms of how it tastes or it's, okay, gotcha.
Both.
I mean, but whereas alcohol is alcohol in the sense of what it does to the mind, kind of
yes,
like
caffeine. Sorry, you're correct.
Cool. And then, When do you see it? Do you see it being legalized? As a kind of a final question here, you can give at the end your Facebook, Twitter, any of the information we need to contact or get involved in your campaign. But when do you see it being legalized in the future, and what do you think the hurdles are?
You know, I think it's very interesting what's happening with the Liberal government in the sense that they're pushing this through at breakneck speeds in respect to anything else any government has done prior. And this July 1st, 2018 deadline gets tossed out a lot. And, you know, I think we will see legalization very close to around that date. Looking at how we've gone to where we are today, the government has been very on time with their promises and kind of the trajectory of this growth. And I think we're going to continue to see that. It is a major platform which they ran on, and there's a lot of momentum in the capital market side, in the regulatory side, and the provincial level. So, you know, I lived in Tarawa provinces very often, have a dialogue about how their regulation is going, what they're looking for, and how Lyft can help from an education perspective. So I think it definitely will happen sometime next year.
And is there anything else you would like to say or anything that we haven't covered on that you'd like to end on?
I mean, thank you for having me. It was an absolute pleasure. And to the extent some of your listeners may want to learn more about cannabis or perhaps this is right for them or just to hear what's happening at legalization, kind of where it's coming, we have that coverage at Lyft. And, of course, the URL is just lyft.co.
Okay, great. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I hope we educated our audience today. Stay tuned for the second half. We'll be talking about Taste of Regent Park. We want to thank you, Mateo, for joining us, and stay tuned.
Great. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Bye-bye.
Rastaman vibration, yeah. Washington, yeah. I am an Irishian, yeah.
Irish,
oh, positive vibration, yeah.
Positive.
I tell you what, hey. No more devils, I swear. Why the hell one another on the way? Make it much easier.
A little bit easier.
What I mean, make way for the positive day, 'cause it's a new day, new time, and it's a new feeling, say it's a new science, oh what a new day, picking up, are you picking up now?
And welcome back to Catch the Flavor Youth Radio here on Radio Regent. So for our second half, we're here joined with Sonia Sheng. She is the Executive Coordinator of Taste of Regent Park. And Enlo Wilson, he is the Director of Development at CRC, Regent Park Community Food Center. And they're here today to talk to us about Taste of Regent Park and Good Food Market. So the Taste of Regent Park is a family-friendly celebration of food and culture in the park, held on Wednesday evenings in the summer. So this event is happening right now, and it brings together a healthy food market and an affordable community meal cooked by different Regent Park caterers each week. Vendors sell food, clothing, and more, and gather along with kids' activities, dance lessons, and face painting. So there's a lot of fun going on, and there are a lot of partnerships with local agencies. So welcome, Sonia and Lo. Hi. Welcome.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
Great. You guys sound amazing on radio. I just wanted to let you know. So can you give us a little background on this?
Sure. So CRC is a multi-service poverty relief and personal capacity building agency. We've operated in and around Regent Park since 1976, and we offer an array of services. So they include affordable housing and housing supports, social connectivity, respite, complimentary clothing, et cetera, at a drop-in space that we operate, support of social enterprises in Regent Park, and by way of our Regent Park Community Food Center since 2014, access to affordable meals and food and culinary skills programming. So as part of our deliverables with Regent Park Community Food Center, we serve about 65,000 nutrient-dense meals per year. We support 187 community gardens in and around Regent Park. And for 3 years in a row now, we do Taste of Regent Park.
Great. So can you tell us a little bit about Taste of Regent Park? How has that been in the last 3 years?
Yeah, so as Judy has said, and Lo as well, this is the third year that we're running Taste of Regent Park, which is really a summer festival in the park every Wednesday night. And the goal of it is to increase food access, to provide local employment and professional training opportunities, and encourage social engagement. So in terms of food access, we want to be able to provide the community with fresh produce that's grown by local farmers, like things that you can't always find in grocery stores around here, like fresh-picked Ontario strawberries, which everyone tends to get very excited about, and to do that at very affordable prices. And then, as Judy mentioned, we have this component that is a community meal. Like, we have the opportunity for local vendors and artists to come and showcase their products, their skills, and their talents. But we also have this community catered meal that is every week by a different caterer who are a resident of the local community who are looking to professionalize their skills and enter the catering industry. So this is an opportunity for them to make some money, but also to gain experience and that professionalism to sort of get ahead and to reach their goals. And then the market goers, which would hopefully be you, the listeners, get an amazing meal and all of the money goes back to the community. And of course, Regent Park is a super diverse community. It's becoming more so every day with the revitalization efforts. And so a core vision is to provide a space where all of these diverse peoples can come together. You can meet your neighbors, get to know your community, experience new things, new foods, new activities, new cultures, and just have fun together.
Awesome. So can you tell us a bit about the highlights for this year's Taste of Regent Park and even like some of the highlights for previous years?
So we have a lot of different things. So the thing with Taste of Regent Park is you never know what will happen. Every year is really different. So the good food market, which sells fresh produce, is a staple. It will always be there. And of course, the community cater meal is the same. We have a meal, but the meal is different every week and every year, depending on who the caterers are. This year, we will continue to have the outdoor bake oven. So this is a public bake oven that's in the park. And it's run by sort of youth that get trained to animate the oven. They make roast corn, pizzas, and other baked goods that are fresh out of the oven. And it's very cool to see, but also very tasty. This year, we have some pretty cool things. This year, we'll have, we have a different theme every week. So we have, like, Bollywood night, we have day at the beach, we have Square Circle that's going to join us, and they'll have circus performers.
That's August 30th, people.
That is. Mm-hmm. And on August 30th, we will also have a cider-making workshop. So things that you don't tend to have a chance to see. And so it would just be stuff like that.
On the last day, does like every one of them come back and you have like a giant party?
That is the plan. That
cool.
is the hope.
Okay.
With cider, nonetheless. So,
yeah.
Be there.
That's going to be wild.
And you mentioned these were local participants. So it wouldn't be like Umi's Kitchen or like a local restaurant. This would be budding entrepreneurs trying to get into the.
Exactly. Exactly. So this is a chance for people who don't necessarily have had the opportunity or the experience to cook for 300 people. And they're amazing cooks. Actually, today at our location, we had a catering meeting. We asked all of these people to bring a little sample of what they would make. And they are amazing.
And if I might, just on that note, one of the areas that we see as a potential, you know, sort of growth area for CRC, in addition to more traditional poverty relief programming, is this capacity building. So by way of social enterprise supports, we would identify, you know, talent in and around Regent Park. Regent Park is amazing in that it represents Toronto as being one of the most culturally diverse neighborhoods in the city, right? We have over 90 languages spoken in Regent Park. And, wow. You know, with those cultural traditions come sort of food skills sort of thing, right? We have lots of talented people who arrive in the neighborhood from many parts of the world. One of the challenges to newcomers, however, is, you know, they come with the talents, but not necessarily credentials that are recognized in Canada. So you hear anecdotally stories about, you know, people with master's degrees and PhDs driving taxis, for example. That's unfortunate, and it also contributes to lingering poverty in and around Toronto's downtown east. So one of the things we want to do is support this talent by way of giving them a venue like Taste of Regent Park to show off their wares, to show off their skills, and to network and to learn additional culinary skills with which they can sort of better position themselves for employment and entrepreneurial opportunities.
Great. So the first event is going to be actually next week, right?
It starts next week. It starts really soon. And our theme for next week is Get Your Groove On. We're going to have a DJ with music. We'll have dancers. We're hoping to have a dancing workshop. So come out. It's good.
Okay,
it
so
should
what,
be a blast.
What does this dancing workshop entail?
You're going to have to come to find it.
Oh,
I won't be there. I cannot dance.
Me neither.
Not in a way that anyone would want to see. Anyway.
Workshop in just to teach you. Anyway, but is there a food theme for that as well?
Do you dance in your food? What's going on?
Yeah, so every...
Like oysters and like shrimp that's still alive and octopus.
Well, you're going to have to come and find out about that too. But no, mostly food is sort of the talents we have from the community. So we have Bengali caterers, we have people from Sri Lanka, we have people from the Caribbean, we have people from East Africa, and there would just be all sorts of different food. And so after, if you come every week, after the 10 weeks, you would have pretty much tasted your way around the world.
Wow.
That's actually so cool.
That is amazing.
Did you have a difficulty with 90 different languages being spoken and all these different, like trying to narrow it down? I'm trying to decide
just eat this.
Well, I think
fitting it into a theme, like.
Well, no. What I would suggest is that the 90 different languages are spoken in Regent Park, not necessarily at Taste of Regent Park. There is, you know, it's primarily, you know, English spoken at the event. But I guess my point earlier was that, you know, we have this sort of confluence of a number of different cultural backgrounds. Mm-hmm. And I think one of the intents, in addition to kind of showcasing food and just bringing people together, is also to showcase sort of the dynamic sort of aspect of bringing that cultural mix together, you know, and showing that, you know, as part of Regent Park's revitalization, we're making it work. You know, we are sort of an example not only to the rest of Canada, I would say to the world as an American who's sort of arrived here in appreciation of this diversity. It's working in Regent Park in very productive and fun ways, I think.
So last year, some of the people who came and sort of did a little feedback survey with us said that one of the things they really loved is being able to try new things and see new things that they didn't necessarily have the chance or opportunity to experience before. So that's new food, listening to like new sort of new cultural music, meeting someone new, like their neighbor that you wouldn't even know just walking past the street. But this creates a space where people feel comfortable and can mingle with each other.
And you've been doing this now for 3 years. Has anyone gone on to like successfully start a food truck or a catering a website or a restaurant? Has anyone gone and springboarded from this?
None of the caterers, as far as I know, have started their own catering business because that's quite challenging. But there are a number of catering collectives in Regent Park, which some of these caterers are belonging to. So, for example, the Young Stream Nation Catering, the TD Learning Center Catering Collective. Like, there's a number of venues in which these people are blossoming, but not in the sort of traditional way of starting their own business.
Cool. So can you tell us a bit about more of the events to come? Let's say July 5th, first Wednesday of July, Secret Gardens. What is that?
So there are so many gardens in Regent Park. I don't know if people are aware, but there are a number of community garden spaces and they are amazing and blossoming. So from a person who lives in the city, I honestly have never seen some of these things grown. Like, I did not know. But we are going to take people on a tour of all the cool gardens in Regent Park.
Like rooftop gardens and like...
Yeah, community gardens around the area, community gardens behind buildings that you probably didn't even know existed. Mm-hmm. And we might get to go into a rooftop garden.
And I would just add that for those who, you know, don't frequent Regent Park, there are hundreds of community gardens in Regent Park, and CRC Regent Park Community Food Center supports 187 of those. So it's a very green area. And, you know, part of our objective is to sort of teach food skills and not only how to cook and share good food, but how to cultivate it and grow it, right? And it's amazing, again, given the cultural diversity in the area, what you can actually grow in Toronto. It's incredible.
We have a kiwi plant outside of CRC's garden, so... You can grow some.
Kiwis can grow in Canada?
Right.
Apparently they can.
Okay. Wow.
Apparently so. Yeah. And then we'll have, after Secret Garden, we'll have Regent Park Film Festival that's going to join us for Movie Under the Stars. And so it would be great. You stay for Taste of Regent Park, get food, get groceries, and then you stay for a free movie.
Wow, that's amazing. Okay, so why don't we take a little short musical break? We'll come right back with Sonia and Enlo, and we'll talk some more about Taste of Regent Park. And don't go anywhere. We have amazing discussion to follow. Thank you.
And we're back here on Catch the Flavor. And yeah, if you want to call in, it is 647-344-4134. That was Kelis with Jerk Ribs. And speaking of ribs and food, we're talking with Sanya Shung and Anloy Wilson about Taste of Region, which is an upcoming multi-part, multi-week festival of food and culture in Regent Park.
And amazingness. So welcome back, Sanya Shung and Anloy Wilson. If you're just joining us, Sonia is the executive coordinator of Taste of Regent Park. Enlo, he is the director of development at CRC Regent Park Community Food Center. They're just here to tell us, to let us know that there is an amazing event going on for the summer at Regent Park, all about food, love, community. It starts June 28th and it will end August 30th. So welcome back.
Hey.
Hey.
And we started that. We have gotten into the first 2 weeks, but I'm curious about these other things we're doing. On the 12th of July, we're doing something called Hoop Dreams.
Take us
through that.
Well, a lot of these things you have to really experience to know. It's quite different to hear it than to experience it. But Hoop Dreams is really matching up with the movie that will be shown at dusk and called Space Jam, which most of you are familiar with. It's an amazing movie.
But it's all about basketball, guys.
It is. So we're going to play some hoops, of course, and we'll have lots of games and activities for children and adults or the young at heart as well. And we'll just come and have fun together.
Okay, so let's run down the other events. July 19th is Annie in the Park. What is it's that?
It's actually a day at the beach.
Okay.
Yeah, so we are actually, because the movie is Moana, we thought to match with the beachy theme, you just come and have some fun.
Layers.
Okay,
we planned this out.
Yeah, all, you know what they say, love is in the details, so we're seeing it. So
we'll have some fun, cool stuff that day too that we already know about, that we're going to do a warm compost and a sea library. So you're going to have to come.
What's a sea library?
Yeah. What do I read at a sea library?
Well, you can come and learn all about the different seeds, and you can take some seeds home and start your own garden.
So you'll give us like free tomato seeds, cucumber seeds, that kind of stuff?
Yeah, we'll give you worms too.
Oh, worms and seeds.
Make your own compost.
Seeds, free too. All right, so what about July 26th, where the wild ones are?
Come for the urban wild. The movie is Hunt for the Wilder People, which is very cool. If you don't know about it, you should Google it. Mm-hmm. But the whole theme is basically exploring the urban wild, learning about what we have here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so my understanding is that during Taste of Region, afterwards, there's always a movie that accompanies it. It's a free screening outdoors.
It is a free screening outdoors.
And is it for every Wednesday night?
It is It is most of the Wednesday nights. Okay. So it is six Wednesdays from July 12th to August 16th.
Okay.
Yeah, it will start whenever it gets dark, and it's right in the middle of the park. We have a humongous screen, and they're all family-friendly movies.
So it's all just about dropping in and just sitting down and watching. It's free for everyone.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. Awesome.
So why don't we just do a tease here, and you guys can run down the next four for August?
And then, so, what's the movie for August 2? That is the Bollywood Glamour.
Yeah, so it's, of course, a Bollywood movie.
Oh, okay.
And actually, we have amazing staff from Shoppers Drug Mart across the street who's going to come and do
makeup.
Oh,
wow.
Free makeovers.
Like in the nighttime?
You can continue on to the nighttime. You can come over, get a makeover, and have a meal, and then go party the night away.
Wow, that's amazing. So they just have to, wait in line to get a free makeover?
Exactly.
Oh, that's awesome.
You learn some tips, too.
Oh, wow. And for August 9th, what about that? Estate Italiana.
It's Italian summer, and the movie is Bicycle Thieves.
Solid. Continue.
We're going to have, and now speaking of bicycles, we also have Region Wheels that joins us every week to do free bike repairs. So bike tune-ups, come learn how to do them.
Mm-hmm.
And we also have Charlie's Wheels, Free Wheels, who comes and do bike blender. So if you don't know what that is, it is making smoothies powered by a bike.
So you bike. You bike for your smoothie.
Exactly. You got to work for it.
Okay.
So you burn the calories off and then you gain them back.
So
smoothie or something.
So the success of your smoothie, how chunky it is really based on how strong your legs are.
I guess so. I guess that's determine your own chunkiness.
You want an incredibly smooth smoothie, you've got to bike hard for it.
Work for it. Exactly.
All right. Awesome. Definitely do that. All right. So how about you tell us about August 16th, The Hero in You?
The Hero in You, the movie is called Hidden Figures, which celebrates sort of the unsung heroes in sort of early days of NASA, these women of color.
Okay.
Who were just apparently math geniuses and who supported so many initiatives, but were known about. So we thought this would be a great day to celebrate, everyone's heroes, like your parents or someone you know or a celebrity or, a historical figure. And we would like to encourage everyone to dress up as their hero or a superhero on that day.
So I'll be Harry Potter. Maybe.
Amazing. That's wonderful.
Jed, who are you going to be?
I don't know. Probably just put on a Superman shirt and walk around. What about Heart and Soul? Wellness focused.
Yeah.
August 23rd.
So that day, we are hoping to have lots of wellness activities. So maybe some Tai Chi, maybe some massage. It's about rest and restoration.
Cool. So let's end it off. August 30th. I know you already touched on it, but let's talk a little bit more about that. Join the circus. So is it circus theme?
It is circus themed. So all throughout August, we'll have Square Circle joining us, who will do circus performances, teach people some simple tricks like how to juggle.
Cool.
But on that last day, we hope to go out with a bang. And Square Circle is hoping to sort of break some world records with circus performances.
No way.
It would be amazing.
What kind of records are they going to have?
I think they're
hoping
to do a juggling, like the most jugglers in the world or something at the same time. But yeah, there'll also be, silk dancers and things like that. So there should be really fun.
So very Cirque du Soleil kind of.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. And that's all you just drop in and see it and just enjoy yourself kind of deal?
Yeah, we run from 5 to 8, drop in at any time, and there should be activities going on.
Okay, so.
And I just want to mention, all of the events and services at Taste of Region Park are free of charge and open to the public, with the exception of the community meals, which we serve for $3 donation.
So $4 donation.
$4 donation, excuse me.
All of the things that, basically every purchase you make at Taste of Region Park, if it's a local vendor, if it's a community meal, goes right back to the community.
Yep. Okay, so your money is going to somewhere worthwhile.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Okay, so we're running a little bit out of time, but do you want to end us off with any last notes on Taste of Region Park? Anything you want to share with the audience we haven't touched on yet?
I think you guys have been pretty thorough, which is great. And the rest, you just got to come and experience it. So we really hope people can come and participate, take part in your community, give back to it, and really just enjoy.
Okay, Emma, Do you have anything to share?
Yeah, I think just, you know, we often hear about the challenges in Regent Park. I think Taste of Regent Park is the opportunity to show the good stuff, the fun stuff that's actually happening in the community. Yeah, and it's a great upcoming event. It's going to be one of the big summer events in years to come. So come join us.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Enlo and Sonia, for joining us. We've run out of time. So thank you so much for joining
us. Thank you.
Thank you.
And we hope our audience will be very, very anticipatory for Taste of Regent Park. It is happening first week, June 28th. It's every Wednesday night until August 30th. So just join us in Regent Park. There will be food, there will be fun, there will be happiness and free movies and amazing themes. So come check us out. Thank you for listening to Catch the Flavor Youth Radio. Up next is Murphy Brown.
I'm going to end with a song from Space Jam, probably the greatest party rap track ever recorded.
Yeah, that's his opinion.
Tis.
Well, remember the tiny aliens I told you about?
Oh. You heard of the Dream Team? Well, we're the Mean Team.
We're the Monstars.
Greeting, Earthlings. We have now taken over your radio.
Going straight to the hole. You ain't got no game. I'm breaking you out the frame. Coming through like a train. Not gonna take over the whole world is my goal. With my unstoppable crew taking all control. You can't get none of this. We're running this. Well, take up. Earthshaker, 3-point gun in this. Get out the lane, I'm coming through. And if you don't wanna move, I'm coming right through you.
It's like inch by inch and step by step. I'm closing in on your position and destruction is my mission. No, 8 is not enough, your whole squad better duck. It's like switch when I bust, now your whole